All right. Well, God bless you. This morning I'm going to be sharing on a topic called Remembering Your Passwords. You know, one of the greatest challenges of our modern culture is remembering our passwords and remembering where we put the information about our passwords. You know, as I was putting the sharing together yesterday afternoon, my son entered, knocked on the door, came in the room and said what my password was for a mobile hotspot that I had created. I thought I might have known it, but ultimately it required some brief research until I found it. And once the right password was put in, guess what? Woo! Internet access. I don't know about you, but storing and remembering your passwords is kind of a unique challenge. I have a Word document of multiple pages stored in my computer where I can get help to remember all the different ones I have because, of course, you are warned about using the same password every time you log in. Believe it or not, I actually have a program on my laptop that is a quote-unquote password manager, but guess what it takes to activate it? You guessed it, a password. You know, passwords seem to have become a necessary thing in today's world. You probably don't need to be reminded of all the various situations and circumstances that you are involved in or will be involved in that will require a series of numbers, letters or both, along with some special character sometimes that will give you one thing, entry into something that is already yours. But we need one thing, access. A couple of summers ago, I did a teaching entitled Your Pentecost Password. Maybe some of you who were there may have heard it, remember it. It corresponded to the numbers on a telephone keypad, 5683. Those numbers spell out the word L-O-V-E, love, because you know what? It is in love and because of love that we truly are energized to operate and in many respects we have received the Holy Spirit as well as live with all of the blessings of the new nature. One of the most famous verses in the entire Bible is John 3:16. You're welcome to look at that. Most of you, I would assume, know that verse by memory. You know, it's been said that it's only 25 words, but it's been called the Bible in a nutshell. It's the gospel in miniature. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 25 words. And yet it has been called the Bible in a nutshell. On a similar note this morning, I want to look at another password and introduce another password that brings the right mindset and heart attitude as we enter into God's presence. It's a simple two-word password, and it's a beautiful reminder of not only how to come before God, but also how we are to think and interact with each other. So, what is it? Amazingly simple are these two words. Thank you. If I take your Bible, please go to Psalm 100. I'll give you a moment just to get there. We sing this in our fellowships quite frequently. In the King James Version, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Verse 4, "Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." One translation of this particular verse 4 says, "Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise, thank him, and worship him." You know, as we approach God, the best way to enter into that place where we are conversing with God is with thanksgiving and kind of the natural outflow of thanksgiving is praise. You know, as I'm about to share in just a moment here, there are a variety of records in God's Word that teach practical examples to us, showing us how to carry the heart attitude of thankfulness into every situation we may find ourselves in. Do you remember the password yet? The next footsteps in the corridor, he knew, might be those of the guards taking him away to his execution. His only bed was the hard, cold stone floor of the dank, cramped prison cell. Not an hour passed when he was free from the constant irritation of the chains and the pain of the iron manacles cutting into his wrists and legs. Separated from friends, unjustly accused, brutally treated, if ever a person had a right to complain, it was this man, languishing almost forgotten in a harsh Roman prison. But instead of complaints, his lips rang with words of praise and thanksgiving. This man was Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving, even in the midst of great adversity. Earlier, when he had been in prison in Rome, Paul wrote, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 5:19-20. Think of it, always giving thanks for everything, no matter what the circumstances. Thanksgiving for Paul was not a once-a-year celebration, but it was a daily reality that changed his life and made him a joyful person in every situation. You know, Thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God for all his blessings, should be one of the most distinctive marks of the believer in Jesus Christ. You know, we must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts and chill our relationship with God and with others. You know, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. You know, in the ancient world, leprosy was a terrible disease. It hopelessly disfigured those who had it, and it permanently cut them off from normal society. Without exception, every leper yearned for one thing: to be healed. One day, 10 lepers approached Jesus outside a village, loudly pleading with him to heal them. In an instant, he restored them all to perfect health. But only one came back and thanked him. All the rest left without a word of thanks, their minds preoccupied only with themselves, gripped with a spirit of ingratitude. Today, too, ingratitude and thanklessness are far too common. Children forget to thank their parents for all that they do. Common courtesy is scorned. We take for granted the ways that others help us. And above all, possibly we fail to thank God for his blessings. You know, ingratitude is falling short, missing the mark. Just as surely as is lying or stealing or immorality or any other thing condemned in the Word. One of the Bible's indictments against rebellious humanity is that, quote, "although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him," according to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold towards God and indifferent to his mercy and love. It is a heart that has forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. From one end of the Bible to the other, we are commanded to be thankful. In fact, thankfulness is the natural outflowing of a heart that is attuned to God. The psalmist declared in 147:7, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." And Paul wrote in Colossians 3:15, "Be thankful." A spirit of thanksgiving is always the mark of a joyous Christian. Why should we be thankful? Because God has blessed us, and we should be thankful for each blessing. That's taken from an article written by Billy Graham entitled How to Be Thankful in Every Situation. And boy, once I read that, it just sent chills up my spine, so to speak. Because that entry into God's presence is just paved in a path of gold, so to speak, as we move down that pathway on this journey with thankful hearts, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situations. I've always said there's always something to be thankful for. And there are many, many, many other wonderful reminders in the Word that will encourage us and exhort us how to be thankful and how to express that. And a few of those are here. I've just briefly go through them with you in 1 Chronicles 16. I'm going to post these on the website along with the teaching, so feel free just to listen along. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:4-5, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And boy, this is a classic one here. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Kind of a simple teaching, remembering your passwords. But you know, this is the thing that we are continually reminded of in God's Word. And so as we wrap this up this morning, let's do our best. I will do my best to keep in mind that as I continue to keep on working on and revising my password list, as you remember to remember your passwords, no matter how you accomplish that, two of the greatest of all time to remember are number one, love, and number two, thank you.